children of God. Do you believe it? Some of you do. Do you believe it? Amen. The world will proclaim there is no covenant. You have no covenant because they don't know the covenant. They don't know of this covenant that has been given to you and I. But I say, as children of God throughout our nation, throughout our world, let's proclaim our covenant with God and let's act like it. There's so many Christians today that don't even act like they have this covenant. They're weak. They're dismayed. Instead of walking like kings and priests, they're walking like paupers. They don't understand this covenant. And I want to give you a story of a man in the Bible that was mighty in the eyes of God because he was a covenant child of God. Covenant child of God. And he knew it. And he acted on it. One of the greatest stories of a man who knows that he is a covenant and is in covenant with God and takes advantage of it was Jonathan, Saul's son. Jonathan. You know, you guys all probably thought I was talking about David. But no, Jonathan knew this covenant and was part of this covenant before David even came on the scene. Here we have King Saul, anointed as king of Israel by God Almighty. Hierarchy and the relevance of God. He has this army of about 2,000 men. And he was about to fight the Philistines. Until Saul's army, they looked out into this vast mountain and he saw the Philistines coming. Huh? And they looked at the army of the Philistine army and they saw, you want to know what they saw? They saw 30,000 chariots coming after them. They saw 6,000 horsemen coming after them on the mountain. There was such a great number of men that it said that they couldn't number it as the sands of the sea. This is how much the Philistine army was coming after these 2,000 men. Anybody in their natural mind would look at this and says, this is too much. This is too much. We can't do this, Saul. And turn around and run. Some of them did. His army went from 2,000 to 600. The fear of men got into them, and they did not look at the covenant that God made with them. Not just Saul, not just Jonathan, but the whole Israel nation had a covenant with God. God gave them a covenant. And they ran. Ooh, does that kind of ring a bell in so many Christians today? That we see trouble? And instead of looking at it right between the eyes, we run, turn tail and run? Now he's stuck. He's left with 600 men. Saul's army now was greatly outnumbered before. But now was even more greatly outnumbered. He was left there looking at his 600 men on one mountain. The Philistines with numerous amount of men, chariots and soldiers on the other mountain ready for battle. Well, not quite ready. There was a great ravine there separating the two armies, and Saul was, needless to say, scared to death. See, something was going on with Saul that was not of God either. See, instead of Saul, a covenant man of God, Saul operated on what he saw and not on the covenant promises. Does that ring a bell? Being in covenant with God hasn't even entered his mind. He sits under a pomegranate tree and wonders, what is he going to do? What am I going to do? O ye of no faith. You know where Christ says, O ye of little faith. I think he had no faith. You know, God is letting us know today in the New Testament, we have to have at least a little faith to get us to the bigger faith. We have to move in faith. Well, he did not. Oh, but there's something that took place. Then he gets self-righteousness. You notice I said self-righteous. And calls for someone to bring up the Ark of the Covenant. That'll do it. He's going to use it like a rabbit's foot and bring it in front of those Philistines, and they didn't think nothing of that. He also makes a burnt offering to the Lord, which was a big mistake because he made the offering and not the priest. The offerings, anything that was given as a burnt offering, was only set up for the high priest to do, not for any king or common person. So he did something totally against God. Because what was he doing? He was doing it in his own self, not in God. He was using his self-righteous attitude. Ooh. Come on now, you with me? Saul's faith was in himself and in things, the ark and the burnt offering. He's forgotten or just ignored the fact that he's in covenant with God through Abraham. But there's someone in the camp that hasn't forgotten. This is not about David because he wasn't even entered the picture yet. This is about someone he knows about who has a covenant relationship and understands his covenant relationship. Now turn with me. Turn with me. To 1 Samuel, come on, 1 Samuel, I'm quick because I got it marked. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1. I've given you all the prelude to what's taking place, and now I'll give you what happened. Everything now, remember, let's take a look. Saul's army's on one mountain. The Philistines' army is on another mountain. Saul's army has 600. The Philistine army has thousands. Hundreds of thousands. If you would look at it, you'd think, there's no way. No way. But here is verse 1. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to a young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. He said, let's go do this thing. Let's go do this thing. See, you got to understand what took place. He was telling something to his armor bearer. Just the two of us. Let us go to attack the Philistines ourselves. Now, was that faith? Was that faith? The rest of the Israelites did not have any real weapons. The Philistines had been in control of the land, and they didn't permit the blacksmiths of the land in the Israelites' area. So there was no blacksmiths. So what took place, they weren't allowed to have weapons. They had plowshares. They had plows. They had axes to work on the field. And that's the only thing they could sharpen. But they did not have any weapons. Only two people that was allowed a weapon was King Saul and Jonathan, his son. The rest of the Israel, 600 men, had plowshares, had plows, had axes. They're going against an army of thousands that had swords, that had shields, that had horsemen, that had chariots. Can you call that outnumbered? They're going to fight them with two swords? That's no battle. That's a slaughter. You would, in human thought pattern, would think that's a slaughter. So, Jonathan and his armor bearer sneaked out of the camp and headed toward the Philistines. His armor bearer must have had some doubts, would you? About the two of them taking on the whole Philistine army with only one sword. King Saul still had his sword. You know, Jonathan's the only one that had the sword. And the armor bearer, he had nothing. He carried his armor. Somebody had to have been praying. Let me repeat the numbers. The Philistine army consisted of 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and so many soldiers on foot. The scripture says they were like the sand in the desert. Now, Jonathan, I believe, wasn't just a kid with a lot of spunk. Well, maybe he had a lot of spunk. But there was more to it than that. You have to understand and you have to see that Jonathan was a covenant child of God who knew that if he is in covenant with God, that nothing would come against him. And that if he exercised this covenant, that God would be for him. That he exercised his covenant with God, that God would be for him. Two men against thousands. Okay? I see Jonathan a little differently. I kind of see Jonathan as a type of Jesus, and their armor bearer as a type of the believer. Jonathan leads the way, and their armor bearer follows in faith. Listen to me. Jesus leads the way. And the believer, that's you and I, we follow in faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Their armor bearer carried the sword. What today do we carry? The sword, right? The armor bearer took Jonathan's sword and carried it for him. Jonathan led the way. Jesus is today is leading the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? He leads the way in front of you. And you have the sword, the word of God. That's your sword. And you can go against enemies. You can go against anyone that comes against you. Because you have the sword. Somebody please say amen. The word of God is in our hearts. The word of God. So here's Jonathan, a covenant child of God, looking across the valley at the enemy, snickering and saying, those poor Philistines don't have a chance. His faith was riding on the covenant promises of God. Do you understand that? What do we have today? What do we have? We've got the covenant of faith in Jesus. He gave us a covenant. What did Jesus do to give you and I a covenant? He died. He died on the cross for you and I. He presented himself to the Father in heaven. And when he presented himself, God the Father said, "You are worthy, Jesus." He sits on the right hand of God, the authority side of God today. As a covenant maker of God, he made the covenant for all the Gentiles and all the world that will take a relationship with him. You're in covenant. Not because of anything you did. It's because of everything Jesus did. We are covenant children with God. We need to act like it. We need to live like it. We need to show it. Quit whimpering around. When the devil hits you in the one cheek, turn to the left and say, "Try it again, Satan." You're in covenant. Act like it. Act like it. Let me read to you a great covenant God gave to Moses. And he gave it to all of us who believe it. Turn with me. These are scriptures I want you to mark down. I want you to underline. I want you to get it into your heart today. Deuteronomy. That's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. Young people, look it up, please. Deuteronomy 31, verse 5. I'll wait until you get there. I might even stop putting it up on the screen because you guys are getting too congenial just for it to be there. You need to look this up. You need to put this in your word. Yes. You need to figure out what God's doing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Good, I'm glad they can. The devil can hear me. Be strong. Be weak. Too many Christians today are weak. No, have no backbone in them. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Now, I like that word "them" and paraphrase it. Anyone that comes against you. Any demon in hell. Any devil that'll come against you. Be strong. Do not be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes, what? He goes with you. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't let you go out and fight your battles by yourself. He is with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. That is amen. That is an amen to God. And that's in the Old Testament. See, he was giving this to the Old Testament Israel nation. To the Israel nation. Let me ask you this question. If that is a covenant for them, is that a covenant for you? Let me ask another question. If God gives you a covenant, does he, like an Indian giver, take it away? Huh? No. God has given you this covenant. He's given it to you. And if he has given you this covenant, he will not take it away. So what is that telling you as a born-again believer today? You believe in Jesus Christ, then really, really believe in him. God says don't let any enemy or any devil in hell try to come against you. He says, "I am with you." And when you feel down and out, when you feel discouraged, when someone comes against you that you know is not right, then you have the right to say, in the name of Jesus, I come against you, Satan. Get thee behind me. Woo! That's the authority of a covenant child of God. Understand that. Watching the movie War Room. You guys got to watch that movie. Oh my goodness. The lady and the two ladies are together. I won't go through the whole movie. But they're walking, going to go get ice cream. And as they're walking, this guy, thief, comes up with a knife in his hand, says, give me all your money. Now the one lady's faith must not have been too good. Because she's pulling out her wallet. Here, take it all, take it all, take it all. Leave us alone. Where the elderly lady, she looked him right square in the face and says, you're not getting my money. Now get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Now, that took authority, right? That took faith in God. He had the knife. She didn't have nothing. But, as a covenant child of God, with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God grafted into her heart, she had the authority of God to tell any demon, get out of here. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? Follow on to that. I believe Jonathan had the same. Let me go on and read something here to you. Verse 6, as we go down. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many, and I like this one, or by few. Do you get that one? If God before you, your army doesn't have to be 10,000, 600, 2, or even 1. He can work for you. He's not looking for numbers. He's looking for faith. The key to this verse and victory is that the Philistines were pagans and they were not under the covenant with God. This is true today. We are covenant. We are in covenant with God. And no one can defeat you. No one. The world around us, our enemies, Satan, demons, no one can defeat you as a covenant child of God when you have a relationship with Jesus. Thank you. I need a few more of those. Amen? Come on now. Amen? It's true. No one. And don't let Satan try to tell you differently. Or someone used of Satan. There's plenty of Christians out there that can be used of Satan. Job comforters that'll come to you in thinking it's goodwill to try to lead you a different way than where God is leading you. And if God is telling you to go somewhere, whew, do you understand? Go that direction. Go that direction. Here's what verse 7 says. Now listen to this one. This is very important. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. Whoa! Now, that is a statement of faith by his armor bearer, and we need that kind of faith. Go ahead, Jesus. I will follow you. Here I am with you according to your heart, O Lord. Go ahead, Jesus. I will follow you. That's what we need to be saying. Instead of us leading the way, Jesus needs to lead the way. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Go ahead, Jesus. I will follow you. Go ahead, Jesus. I will follow you. From that point on, the Philistines were beat. Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up a steep, steep slope right into the middle of the enemy. What do you think the Philistines were doing at this point? Now, the garrison was the lookout point. The rest of the army wasn't there. They were the head of the army as a lookout point at the steepest point of the mountain. So they knew that they were going to have to come up that part of the mountain to get to the Philistines. They were the lookout, so they were the ones that were going to inform the rest of the Philistines when the army shows up. Here they are, Jonathan and his little armor bearer climbing up that steep mountain, and I'm sure that the garrison saw them. And you know what Jonathan did? He says, I'm going to put out a fleece before God. And what he told his armor bearer before they started the climb, says, here's what we're going to do. If they say this, I'm going to know it's not of God and we're going to take away and run. But if they say it this way, you guys, it says, if they tell them, what are you guys doing? That's our clue to leave. If they tell us, come on up and we'll show you what we've got, that's our clue to come and get them. Well, when the army saw them coming, they're kind of like, what, two? They're coming out of their holes? They're coming out? Two? Is that all God's given us is two? Okay, you guys, come on up and we'll show you what we got. Has the devil ever done that to you? Come on up and we'll show you what I got. You know, come on up and we'll beat the out of you. Come on. You could ad-lib the rest of that one. But you understand there's a difference when you're going with God on your side or when you're going without him on your side. Even the armor bearer knew that God was on their side. I'll follow you, Jonathan, wherever you go. Jesus is calling on us. Will you follow him no matter what? It might look like the odds are overwhelming. It might look like you'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to do this. And there are going to be fights that look like you're going to lose no matter what you do. But if you're a covenant child of God, God will lead the way. He'll lead the way, and then you're going to fight. Sometimes you're going to have to fight. Come on. Sometimes you will have to fight. You better be ready. How do you get ready? Pray. How else?
Worship.
How else? What was that? Read his word. It's your sword. Read it. Your weapons, his weapons, cannot come against you with your weapon. Read it. Oh, hallelujah. See, you got to understand, they didn't even feel like alerting the rest of the camp. We can take care of this. Two Israelites? Shouldn't that be any problem? Come on up, we'll show you. Of course, they didn't know anything about them being in covenant with God. So they were looking down, and they, with all their weapons they needed, said, come on. They shout arrows at them. They threw spears and even rocks. But something keeps them from hitting Jonathan and his armor bearer. Oh, really? Who do you think that was? Here's Jonathan climbing up the steep mountain with both hands waving, and he just couldn't wait to get to the top. Jonathan reaches the top and immediately kills 20 of them right at that point. Within a half an acre, he had already killed 20. In the meantime, you understand, he went before him, and the armor bearer, they had the sword behind him and cut him down. He just kept running, and the armor bearer just kept cutting him down. God, Jesus just keeps coming forward, and we're right behind him, following, cutting him down. Cut that devil down. Cut that devil down. Realize that. This is the scenario. This is the relationship that I'm trying to give you between the Old Testament and what we are as a covenant child. Now, here's something else that was taking place. This is good, good, good. In the meantime, God caused an earthquake to shake up the Philistines' army, and they were so confused during this earthquake that they turned on one another in confusion. Tens of thousands of them turned on one another and started killing each other. If you're in covenant with God, God will see you through no matter what the odds are against you. Saul heard of the ruckus going on across the valley and could see the Philistines killing each other in confusion, so he took his 600 men and went over and finished the job. Oh, hey, if God's going to do this, I might as well go help him a little bit. Oh, my gosh. Now, let me give you another good promise in the Old Testament. This is another promise that God gives you. Turn to Joshua. Joshua. This is another good one for you to mark. Joshua chapter 23, verses 10. Now, I know you'll be in your Bible, but I'm going to take it to you in the Amplified because I like it. Joshua 23, verse 10. I'll wait until you get there. This is a good one. Joshua. Who fought the battle of Jericho? Joshua. Joshua felt he was a covenant child of God, correct? Here it is. One man of you shall put to flight a what? A thousand. For it is the Lord your God who fights for you as he promised you. He promised you. You're able to grab a hold of a thousand enemies, a thousand devils, a thousand demons, and put them to flight. Because you are what? Covenant child of God. Now here's another promise from the Old Testament that still stands true today. Leviticus 23, you just hunt it down, write it, and find it later. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. If you walk in my statutes, see, there's going to be always a condition for God's covenant to work. Do you agree? There's always going to be a condition for God's covenant to work in your heart. And here's the condition. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. We've got a little bit of that. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So what's it telling you there? If you follow God's statutes, keep his commands, and perform his commands. And I tell you this morning, if you don't know God's commandments, get back and read them. They're pretty self-explanatory on how we as Christians today, some people try to lay out that law. Well, that's the Old Testament. And we're not, you know, we don't abide by those Ten Commandments. No, Jesus even said, I'm not taking the ten away, but I'm going to give you one more. Love your neighbor as you love me, yourself. So, if Jesus himself said to abide by those ten, and that one extra one, what are we to do? Abide. Abide and perform them. Then, he says, you will prosper. Then, you will prosper. But now let me take you to 7 through 9. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall then put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. Somebody please. Amen. So God is telling you that He's for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His covenant is there for you and for me. No matter what we go through, if we will, there is an if to everything in God. There is an if. You know, if you will follow His statutes, if you will follow His commandments, if you will perform them, He will take care of you. Saul had, and the 600 that were left of his army were all in the same covenant with God that Jonathan was, but there was a difference. John put faith in that covenant. He acted. I want to tell you something. When you are in covenant with God and are going up against the enemy, it doesn't matter how many there are in your camp. If you're a covenant child of God, numbers do not apply. Age does not apply. Gender does not apply. What you have in the bank does not apply. The only thing we have to do is what Jonathan did. He stepped out in faith on the covenant promises of God, and we need to learn to do the same. Our relationship with Jesus brings us into a covenant with God, and God honors His covenants. Amen? I will tell you this morning, if you are in covenant with God, there's no demon in hell that can come against you and win. Be like that armor bearer that was with Jonathan. Jonathan, will you go with me? And the armor bearer says, I will go with you wherever you go. I will be there. Jesus is saying, will you follow me? Will you follow me? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what gender you are, how much money you have, or how little money you have. Jesus is calling out today, will you follow me? The devil's going to say you can't do it. The devil's going to say, do you understand that his demons know how to tempt you? His demons know how to throw something in front of your face and say, here, go on, take this. It won't matter. Take this. You know, I'm gonna give you $100. But it's of devil money. I'm gonna give you this drug, this alcohol, the secret thing that nobody will know about. Nobody will know. I will tell you someone that does know. God knows. God knows everything we do. Good or bad. There's a little thing that back in the 60s or 70s, I think, it says a little band that, you know, youth would wear. What would Jesus do? I'm asking you today, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? If you have any thought pattern that Jesus wouldn't do this, I tell you, don't do it. That's just a temptation from Satan that'll come at you and try to lead you astray. Don't let it happen. If there's doubt, think on that. What would Jesus do? If He wouldn't do it, you better not do it. You better not. Temptations are out there, church. They're all around you. We live in a culture that's full of temptations, full of things that might not even seem wrong, might not seem wrong at all. But you got to ask that question. What would Jesus do? And if that answer comes up anywhere in your mind, he wouldn't do this, then you better not. You better not do it. Because then you're leading yourself right down the sinful path that leads to hell, damnation, and forever, ever. You understand that once the devil wins your soul, it's over. There's no turning back. Your soul is your life. If that soul's gone and the devil's won that soul, he's won you forever, eternity. There is no turning back once life is this life that we live is over. It's either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And it all's up to you. That's what it does. Sharon, come to the piano. I want to just sing a song, one last song. Take this song with you today. This might be a sobering message, but it's also a message of hope. Realize that we are covenant children of God. Now act like it. Now act like it. Don't let no demon in hell, don't let Satan come at you. Don't let any of that come against you. Act like what you have inside you. And the devil's going to try to throw everything he can to make you not act like it. Act like it. Sharon, sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Understanding of God's covenant in your life. And if that is you this morning, raise your hand and I will pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. See, God wants to give you a truer understanding of his covenant. And if there's doubt, then you need a new appraisal of what he has in store for you. A new understanding of his covenant. If you don't have that covenant, you're lost. You're like the pagans in the world, and you're used of Satan. Ooh, that's strong, but that's true. If you have that covenant, and sometimes it wavers a little bit, and you're not sure of that covenant, then you need help of reassuring, and that's where the Lord comes in. Anyone else? You just need help and assurance of that. I see that here. Lord, I know I saw those hands. And I know, Lord, that you have too. And I pray, God, give them an assurance of your covenant. Somehow, some way, in this week's time, Lord, God, you're going to walk in and you're going to have a very special conversation with them. If it through your word, they're going to open your word and find a place where you're going to talk to them through your word, oh Lord. This is what I give to you, especially to you. In your prayer time, God, you're going to come to them and talk to them in the still voice of your voice, oh God, and have a talk with them. Those, oh Lord, I know that need a covenant with you, Lord, I pray, God, please, Lord, let the hound of heaven enter into their heart, oh God, and don't let them have any peace, oh God, until they have made that covenant with you.
Make peace with you,
honey. Make peace with you, Lord. The devil's a liar. I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. We're all children of God. I rebuke you, Satan, and anything you're trying to do in the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way this day. Have your way this week. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Don't forget, Thursday is